Pastor Danny Gliglucci has been a friend of mine for so long now. We were talking about when we come in, and we've sort of got a bit of a... He has an incredible sense of humour, this man. Has anybody noticed? Like, he's just been hanging with me. I can't repeat some of his jokes tonight, but he's just been hanging with me, and we've just been laughing so much. And I think it's a, you know, one of our values in this church is to have fun. And I always thank God when we have speakers come who actually hold on to that value. That life is a little bit, you've got to enjoy your walk with God. This guy literally does that, and he's just a privilege to hang with, as is Pastor Jeff Bynes. I've just loved hanging out with you both today and having lunch with you. Thank you very much. But Pastor Danny, we want to loose you onto what you're going to do tonight. And so why don't we be upstanding in Spire Church, and I want you to give them a huge welcome to the platform.
Thank you, thank you. Please be seated. How are you guys? So good to be with you again. It's been a couple of days of great fun, but also I believe God moments where God has showed up and spoken to us, and it's been wonderful. I'm very excited about a new era in the life of Inspire Church. And last Sunday, I had an opportunity to do a transition between a father and son in the Hawkesbury in New South Wales, where the father handed over the church to the son. A kind of church where you think, I couldn't believe a church of 1,000 people in a little country area where the pastor spends most of his time shooting deer and going hunting. And you walk into his house and there's deer heads coming out of the wall. He asked me if I wanted to take one of them home. I said, well, no, I don't feel right about taking one of them home. I think you need to hang on to your hard work. And, you know, these rugs that are animal skins. And his son Daniel, this is Pastor John Canone, Italians. And, it's a group of people that just love God and love people. They've attracted some of the greatest business people in New South Wales. The people that own Doors Plus, I don't know if you've heard of Doors Plus, are in that church, and people are coming in. And I've never seen a board love a pastor and a pastor love a board and a team. So 25 years of doing life together, and they love each other more now than ever. And I cried through most of it because they're Italian. I wrote a song and we sang it last Sunday night to the words, it's a now or never. I'm a very clever, I give everything to my son, but my work's not done. And I started to sing the song. We're going to send it to Hillsong to see if they want to release it on an album. We've got the whole church singing it. We're all singing it, it's now or never, I'm a very clever, with the Italian accent. And I tell you what, the anointing came down, so there you go. So you gotta have fun serving Jesus. He's a great God. You know, the thing I love about the Lord is that He's forever present in all situations. Many of you know of our story. This week we've celebrated our son's birthday. He was going to be 42, two or three days ago, and he's in heaven now. And the pain, tomorrow night I'm meeting with all my grandkids as we celebrate their dad's life. And we have a lot of fun remembering the good times, but also a lot of tears. And one of the things that's helped me is God's presence. Him being present in the midst of confusion and doubt and fear. 3 days ago, I felt God say, when you go to Equippers Church on Sunday morning, I want you to preach a message on living from eternity. And I have not preached that message before, and I prepared it yesterday while I was here. I arrived this morning at Equippers Church, and Pastor Sam Monk said, oh, our theme, by the way, and we're going to finish it tonight, is about living from eternity. And so I got to speak this morning into the very culture of what's been happening in that church. I'm not smart enough to come up with that. The fact that God can speak to us like that and impact our lives with His word helps me do my journey. It's not just about me bringing this great word. It's about, God, you're here. God, you're still speaking. You're involved in my life. And it takes away some of that pain. And in a few moments, I just want to prophesy over the church in just for a couple of minutes. But in a few moments, I'm going to share a message that I believe if we get hold of it and it becomes personal to us, we will do life very, very differently. We will do church very, very differently. You know, I've been to a lot of deacon-possessed churches, and I've seen stuff go on, and I think if we get hold of some of this stuff that is so basic but so real and so true. Do you know how many pastors are leaving the ministry, about 1,700 and something a month around the world, who, and some not to ever go back to church again? I never want to do churchianity. I want to do Christianity. Churchians are easily offended. Christians are easily extended. God will allow for us to be offended so we don't become offendable. God doesn't want us to be in a place where, you know, we have to go from one church to another to find our God shape and all that because we get hurt in life. I grew up in a church like that. My dad was the pastor. I left that church when I was 16 years old. I'm an only child. I got the belting of my life for leaving my dad's church. And I used to watch him cry himself to sleep or sit at the kitchen table crying over the fights that would happen in board meetings and in church. And I used to hear my mother say things, and then Sunday morning we'd all be talking about the love of Jesus. And as a teenager, I thought, something's wrong here. And so God, in His grace, called me with a life message called Building According to Pattern. And God has given me patterns for my life and for church and for ministry. And over the last 2 days, we've looked at biblical pattern. And God, I believe, has been speaking to us. Inspire Church, I'm not saying this with any other motive than I really believe what I'm going to say to you now. And that is, over the last few days, I believe the Holy Spirit has come into this place behind closed doors to bring clarity and strategy for the future of what God has for this house. I believe, if I was to put it in a nutshell, if you are all in this house prepared to say yes. Yes, God, all in. We want to be part of what you birthed, and we want to be part of what you want to continue to do. You could be coming into a new era for the life of this church that is far different than what you've seen in the last, how many years have you been here, Don and Julia? 19 years. I believe there's a shift. If we allow the sift, there will be a shift. And if we allow the shift, there'll be a lift. For those of you that weren't here, I spoke over the leaders 2 days ago. I said the Lord wants to give the church a facelift. We've got to lift our faith higher to have a faith lift, to have a focus lift, to have a function lift. Because Jesus is not coming back for a bride that's got holes in her wedding dress. He's not coming back for a bride that's got her lipstick running and holes in her shoes. He's coming back for a beautiful bride. And I believe God is doing something very powerful in this era of this church if we are willing to obey what the Lord is saying. I came last year, I've come this year, and I don't want a preaching opportunity. I'm not looking for a platform so I can pay the bills. I would rather do something else if that was the case. I want there to be an impartation in what we do that is the now word of the Lord, because God always backs what He says. And so this is what I wrote. I was starting to talk to Don in the car coming here tonight, and I felt my mind go to different places, and I had to go straight to the office and write these things down. One word, that one sentence that changed my life at a time of transition in the life of our church, where we had to step out of stage one and go into stage two before we could go to stage three. Every church goes through stages, where in the first stage we're preaching what we're becoming, in the second stage we practice what we've been preaching, and in the third stage we can pass it on because we've practiced what we've preached and it's become our culture. And so I want to just tell you what the Lord told me when I was walking on the beach one day praying, and I said, God, how do we do this? Where do we get the money for this? How do we bring more staff on? What do we do? We can't afford this. And this is what He said. The risks that you take that flow from revelation, I will always reward with results. That's a life-changing statement, John and Julia. The risks that you take that flow from revelation, I will always reward with results. I remember at that time, God took me to Genesis 22, and He reminded me of it tonight to give it to you prophetically, where the Bible says that God speaks to Abraham. We won't go and read it because it's not my message tonight, and I'm not going to take long, but Genesis 22, and He says to Abraham, take your only son. But he had two sons.
He didn't say, take one of your sons. He said, take your only son. He said to me, Danny, I will only speak to you about the things I initiate in you. That which you birth in the flesh, I will never talk to you about. There are churches that are Ishmael churches being birthed all over Australia right now and even in this country because they are birthed out of the flesh. They are not born out of the Spirit of God. When my son passed away, the only things that kept me standing were the things that God had revealed to me personally about who he is and what he does, not what I hear through somebody else, because God only backs what he initiates. And he says, take your only son. And God said to me, you know, but there were two sons. And then I remember the year, I can remember the moment, I can remember when people got out of their seats, came running down the front of the altar and started weeping when I said this, God has people that carry the burden, but he needs people that also carry the wood. God takes the wood for the sacrifice and puts it on Isaac's shoulders. If you were going to kill your son, you would at least carry the wood, wouldn't you? If God says to me, I'll take your son and sacrifice him, why would you put the wood for the sacrifice on the very son that you're going to kill? And God spoke to me, said, I can only use people that allow me to kill them, that lay on the altar of sacrifice and say, tie me down. I'm not going anywhere, because there's a resurrection that comes after we die when we say yes to God. And I believe tonight God wants to say to this church, this is being recorded, that if there's a yes anointing in this place, we need to say, I'll carry the wood. Some carry the burden, some carry the wood, but the Bible says that because Abraham did not withhold, and neither did Isaac, they were both blessed and the generations were blessed. I have not been able to build Edge Church on my own skills, but I've been able to build it by knowing who can carry the wood and who carries the fire and the knife that shapes the culture and keeps the fire burning in the church, and who carries the weight. But it's not a heavy weight to carry when God tells us to carry. And I thank God for hundreds and hundreds of volunteers over 22 years that said, Pastor Danny, we'll carry the wood. We'll carry the wood. And I want to tell you, that day is coming to this house, and I believe there's an era shift right now in the life of this church that God wants to bring, so everybody will be blessed. It won't be some burning out and some burning on. It'll be everybody working together. And God wants that because he wants individual stories. When we put our hands up to volunteer, sometimes we think we're helping the church out. But every time we put our hand up to serve God, we're giving God an opportunity to show us miracles. I served as a volunteer for many, many years before I was ever on staff. I led people to Christ on an ongoing basis. I worked in a menswear store and I led customers to Christ that are pastors today in the kingdom of God, in one spirit, one encounter with these people in a menswear store, because I never saw serving Jesus as a title or a position, but it's a privilege to serve the God that we love, who died for us, because he gives us opportunities to create our stories. I've got lots of stories that have got nothing to do with leading a church. I've got stories now that are happening that have got nothing to do with leading a church. I go home tomorrow to meet with non-Christians in our city who I'm doing conflict resolution with, a family of Italians that come from mafia country, and they're at loggerheads with each other, and I'm the guy in the middle doing the mediation. And I don't charge for it. I do it as my gift to the community. But one of them has got a big market garden, and I love figs. So he said, what do we owe you, Mr. Danny? I said, a four-figure sum. And he goes, I can't afford that money. I said, no, just four figs will do. That'll be great. And so they brought me a big box of figs the other day. He's 72. He's scared his kids are going to kill each other. And he looks at me and he goes, don't you leave me, Danny. Danny, don't you leave me. I love you too much. Don't you leave me. He doesn't want to know about Jesus yet. But he's already starting to get ready for an incredible encounter. You know something? These are not stories for Danny Goog. These are, every one of us needs to have our own story. Let me go to the thought that I want to bring tonight, because I really believe there's a new day coming for this house. I believe by the time I'm back here in August, God is going to bring absolute clarity of the next season of who carries the wood, who carries the fire, who carries the burden. There is a revival of infrastructure, but we've got to let it be Holy Spirit initiated. We can't do stuff like we do in the world. businesses in the world are great, but the church is not a business. The church is the body of Christ. And let me tell you, we can be businesslike, but when the prophetic word of the Lord comes and we let revelation speak instead of reason, amazing things happen and the shift will come. And so I'm really looking forward to what God is going to do amongst you, amongst us. It's been a joy. And to be here with Clive and Jeff Vines, who I only met a couple of years ago, and I feel like I've known them all my life. God told me in 1994, for the rest of your life, you're going to meet people. And as Mary went to visit Elizabeth when they were both pregnant, one was pregnant with John the Baptist and the other one with Jesus. And the Bible says that when they met, there was a leaping inside of Elizabeth's womb. And he said, you're going to meet people all your life that when you meet, there's a there's a leaping in the womb. And he goes, and they are the relationships I want you to fuel. When you get a I've employed people because they had the skills, but inside of me I had the And I didn't listen to the because I felt I needed their skills, and every time it hurt me. But I've employed people that didn't have all the skills, but had the And today they've become leaders of leaders and grown way beyond what I ever thought would happen. So be excited about the future. But I guess this message tonight is where it all really starts with. When my son passed away, I didn't know how my kids, my grandkids, were going to handle this journey. I didn't know whether they were going to say, where's God? Why did this happen? And then one day I was preaching at a church where my grandkids go, and I was preaching on hearing the voice of God. I spoke on this subject, and my 11-year-old grandson, now he was 10 at the time, started taking notes, and at the end of the service, he came forward and he said, Nonno, that's what you call an Italian granddad. He goes, I loved your message today. About hearing the voice of God, he said, but I got two more points. All starting with the same letter. So I said, give me your notes, Elijah. He gave me his notes. I said, oh, Elijah, these are better than mine. I'm going to preach off your notes. Gave him a big hug and a kiss. I said, I love you, Elijah. I love the way you listen and take notes. A couple of days later, I get this from his mother. This has been, I've typed it out, but it was on a text message on the phone. Mum and I were in the car talking about having your own story that you hold on to when times are tough. When things are going bad and you question, is God real? You need to have your own God revelation. I realized God was saying to me all week, Jeremiah 29:9. I didn't know it was God speaking because everyone says Jeremiah 29:11. So I asked Mum to read her Bible on her phone, and then I read it. God, you've given me this scripture, Jeremiah 29:9, that says, they are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. When I was at Keith Cott Primary School, the kids used to say to me that the church was playing with my mind, and that God never existed, and he couldn't be real. They also said that I was being delusional. God's given me this scripture, so I don't have to doubt anymore. I know that he's real, and I only need to listen to his voice. 10 years of age, and then his mum says to me, Dad, will you baptize Elijah? I was in Brisbane. I flew home one Sunday afternoon to get there in time to baptize Elijah. I want you to have a look at the photo of that baptism, if we can put it up. Just have a look on that little boy's face. He's lost his dad. His older brother is standing with me, baptizing his younger brother when his dad baptized him only a few months earlier when he was still alive. And so here's a young lad. He's now turned 11. And said to me the other day, I'd love to travel with you sometime, Nonno, and tell my story. He loves Jesus, and his 16-year-old brother, he's just turned 16, said to me the other day, hey, Nonno, I want to finish the work my dad started. I want to finish the work my dad started. I want to be a youth pastor. How does four children who have lost their dad say those things when they are confronted in a secular world who tells them God's not even real? They had their own revelation. And then all of a sudden I realized, because I was worried that Elijah might have been too young to be baptized, but when you read that and you hear about his own revelation, you think, my goodness, he knows Jesus. And then I remember I was 11 years old when I had my first encounter with Jesus. In that little Italian church, in a prayer meeting full of old people, they were all about 30. And I was, and I was 11, because when you're 11, everybody else is old. My dad was the pastor, and he had hair, not like me now, you know. In fact, I think I told you I had an operation last year where they took several bits of my bowel because they thought I had bowel cancer. And that I said to the doctor, do I have to have a lot of treatment afterwards? And he said, yeah, you do need to have chemo and all that. And I'm not trying to be rude to anyone that may be going through that, but I just was trying to be funny, and I said to the doctor, will I lose my hair? And he looked at me and he goes, I think you're going to be okay. I said, will I be able to play the piano after the operation? And he goes, we're operating on your stomach, not your hands. I said, no, tell me, will I be able to play the piano after the operation? He said, yes, you will. I said, that's great, because I couldn't play it before. And he just looks at me and goes, you're a sick man and you're creating bad jokes. I don't know why I told you that, but I was 11 years old. In a little prayer meeting that was boring, and I was drawing cartoons on a piece of paper, and something happened to me in that prayer meeting where I had a revelation of Jesus. I used to listen to Billy Graham every Sunday night with my radio in my bed. And that particular night when I went home and I'm listening to Radio 5DN and he's preaching and I'm bawling my eyes out in my bed and I'm worshiping and praying. I'm 11 years old and my mum can't get me to sleep. She goes, look, you'll feel like this in the morning. You need to go to sleep. You don't have to do this all night. And my mum was trying to calm me down because I'd had this amazing conversion at the age of 11. And I'm thankful for a generational God that now a grandson who's gone through tragedy and pain but still has his own story and his own revelation of how real God is. And so Matthew 16 tonight, verse 13, I'm going to read from the message. And I'm going to ask you tonight, who do you say he is? Who do I say he is? Because in Australia today, we've got two types of churches. We've got the Yum Cha Church. Have you ever been to Yum Cha? Do they have Yum Cha Chinese food here? There are Christians in Adelaide, where I live, that they go to Yum Cha Church. We'll have a little bit of Stephen Furtick. We'll have a little bit of T.D. Jakes. We'll have a little bit, and sometimes their own pastor they never listen to, because they're going with the latest podcast and the latest fad. Do we need to hear from Stephen Furtick? Yes. Do we need to hear from T.D. Jakes? Yes. But let me tell you, you can't just have a Yum Cha relationship with God where you take a little bit of what's coming around, a little bit that's coming on the cart. I'll have a bit of this. I'll try that. I'll see what that's like. That's all good as an end to your life, but it can't be the whole of your life in how you do your Christianity. When my son died, Christians came up to me and go, oh, Pastor Danny, God loved your son so much, he created the lightning strike to take him home. The devil hated your family so much that he killed your son. The theology that came from Christians that scared me spitless, honestly, thinking, what do you say? What do you know? My grandson's had his own revelation. And in Matthew 16, Jesus is standing before his disciples in a posture where all gods were being celebrated. There were the idols of all the different gods around them. And Jesus comes and says, when Jesus arrived in the villages of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, what are people saying about who the Son of Man is? They replied, some think he's John the Baptizer, some say Elijah, some Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets. He preached them, and how about you? Who do you say I am? See, we have the Yum Cha Church and we have the Some Say Church. Oh, some say miracles happen today. Some say tongues are not for today. Some say sovereignty overrules everything. Some say everybody that's not healed is out of the will of God. Boy, do we have the Some Say Church going around. And so right here, Simon Peter says, sorry, they replied, some think he's John the Baptizer, some Elijah, and so on. He pressed them, and how about you? Who do you say I am? And Simon Peter says, you're the Christ, You're the Messiah. You're the Son of the living God. Now, Peter was the only one that responded out of revelation. There was other people sitting there. And Jesus came back. He says, God bless you, Simon, son of Jonah. You didn't get that answer out of books or from teachers. My Father in heaven, God himself, let you in on this secret of who I really am. And now I'm going to tell you who you are, really are. You are Peter, a rock. This is the rock on which I will build together my church, a church so expansive with energy that not even the gates of hell will be able to keep it out. And that's not all. You will have complete and free access to God's kingdom, keys to open any and every door. No more barriers between heaven and earth, earth and heaven. A yes on earth is a yes on heaven. In heaven, a no on earth is a no in heaven. What an incredible church. We're not there yet, but we're getting there. And I believe the best days for the church are ahead of us. But Jesus asks these two important questions. What do people say I am? Who do people say I am? And what do you say about me? I love motor cars. I'm into motorsport. I used to buy and sell cars as something to do to make extra money when we were first married, to be able to pay the double mortgage on our home. One day, my friend Stuart rings me. And he goes, Danny, I've got the bargain of the century. I've got this VB Calais Commodore. This little old man, he's 85, is not going to drive anymore, and he's selling this $15,000 car for $7,000, and it's like new. And if you don't buy it, Danny, I will. I said, Stuart, if you say it's a good car, I'll buy it. I bought the car, even told people God had provided it. Gave a testimony of this incredible, Italians love a bargain. And I had the bargain of the century until one day, I take the car through the car wash. I don't normally do that, I wash it myself, but I was running late to pick someone up from the airport and the car filled with water. I noticed it had been pulling to the left a little bit. I took it to the authorities and they took it off the road. They said, this car will never be on the road ever again because it's been two motor cars that have been chopped in half and joined together to become one car. The little old man was a crooked little old man who was a front for his son's crooked crash repair business. So they shut that business down. It was a major story. And the little old man was pretending that they were his cars, but they belonged to his son who would chop cars, join them together, and sell them as bargains through a little old man that was going to lose his license because he's getting too old. And I went on the recommendation of some say. I never got it checked out for myself because I trusted the image of the old man. I trusted what my friend told me. Do you know how many people will leave a church and join another church because of what some say? On what the image of something looks like? But Jesus is not coming back for that kind of carry-on. He's coming back for a solid church that understands who he really is. And I believe the greatest sadness in this country and Australia is the number of charismatic Pentecostal Christians that don't know their Bibles. And we've got to have a revival of truth back in the church. I thank God for people like Pastor Jeff Vines, and I'm saying that because he's a friend. I just thank God. Every time I hear him speak, I think we're getting the Word of God again. You know, we got great sermonators now. They can get up and give us a great sermon, but we don't need a sermonator. We need the truth of God's Word in its entirety as a balanced diet coming into the body of Christ because we've got to personally know who he is. We can't go off what that latest album says or that latest book that we read. What do you say? Not what do some say. Let's have a look at what some say. That can help us, but we got to know what we say. And so what happened to me is I was reading this scripture, Matthew 16. God showed me five revelations I'm going to give to you really quickly out of this one verse that I believe can change your life and my life forever. I believe it's been the journey of my life without putting it into these words. Not only did it happen because of Elijah's having his own story that I read out to you, I received a phone call one day from a businessman in Adelaide who owns an amazing Italian restaurant. I think you've been there. Have you been to Enzo's?
Yes.
You've been to Enzo's. Okay, I get a phone call from Enzo. He says, I need you to come to my restaurant now. And he starts crying on the phone. He says, my 19-year-old daughter is suicidal. She hates what she sees when she looks in the mirror. She doesn't like who she is. We love our daughter. She's doing brilliant at university, but she's suicidal. We don't know whether she needs deliverance, and they didn't use the word deliverance, but Italians use like casting a spell off them, you know, breaking the spell. These guys don't go to church. I mean, they've had Catholic background, but they're great friends. I looked at my watch, it was 11 o'clock. I thought, I'll be there in half an hour because then they'll probably ask me to stay for lunch. So what I did is I go down to the restaurant. There's nobody there. We go off to a corner. I'm not going to tell you her name. I'll call her Janine. And I'm sitting there. I said, Janine, how do you feel? She goes, I hate myself. I'm fat. I look in the mirror. I don't like what I see. I got great parents. I know I've done well at university, but I just don't want to live. I wake up every morning with this thought of not wanting to live. And as a result of what happened, which I'll share the rest in just a moment, I went home and read this scripture. And this is what I want to share with you. Don't forget it. Take it home. It's simple but very powerful. The first thing you see, in Australia right now, we've approved gay marriage thinking that we are defined by our sexuality. We're not defined by our sexuality. We're defined by deity. So the first thing that Jesus says to Peter in this passage of Scripture, he says, now, Peter, you now know who I am. I am the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. If we can put the first word up on the screen, deity, there's five words I'm going to put up on the screen. And it says, now, deity says, you know who I am. Now I'm going to show you who you are. Identity. Our identity, number two, flows from understanding deity. When we get to know deity, we find our identity. So many Christians trying to find their flippant identity in positions in the church. Give me a break. The greatest gift we can give our people is our personal wholeness. We can't give our brokenness to our people because position defines us. I rang a pastor of a church of 20 people. His wife answered the phone. I said, can I speak to Bill, please? She goes, Pastor Bill, you mean? I mean, how dumb can you be and still breathe, honestly? Pastor Bill, you mean? If the title defines us, we're in deep yogurt. If the title defines us, we're not human doings, we're human beings. And I'm defined by what happened to me at 11 years of age. My grandson Elijah is identified by what happened to him in seeing having a revelation of deity. And so Jesus says to Peter, now that you know who I am, the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God, I'll show you who you are. So many Christians, what's the will of God for my life? What's the will of God for my life? You're not meant to chase the will of God for your life. You're meant to chase God. And the will of God will come chasing you. The will of God chases us. I've never asked for anything in the kingdom of God. The doors have opened. You know, this is the honest truth before God. I'm in bed last night. And the Holy Spirit said, you're going to be talking to Jeff Vines. And he's going to ask you to come over to his church next year to help with, what did you say to me at lunchtime? Now, I'm not looking for open doors. I don't have to have the ministry of hints. Well, here's my card, brother. The number of people that have come to our church going, we just want to serve, Danny. What would you like to do? Preach. Nobody wants to clean toilets. Nobody wants to stand on the door and welcome people. I want to preach and teach. If I let everybody preach and teach in our church that wants to preach and teach, they'll get to preach once every 6 years. Because we draw our identity by titles and what we do. But if we have a revelation of deity like Elijah had, then we will find our identity. And I grabbed this young girl's hands, Enzo's daughter, and I said, you know, do you believe in God? She goes, I do, but I don't think he likes me. And I grabbed her hands, tears running down my face. I said, can I tell you how he really feels about you? Before you were born, this is what he had in mind for you. His mum and dad, Enzo and his wife, are bawling their eyes out. I said, you've got a mum and dad here that love you. You've got a boyfriend that loves you. You are very pretty. You're attractive. You're not what you think you are. And when you look in the mirror, I said, have you been bullied? Yeah. Have you been bullied on social media? Yeah. I said, would you like deity, which just means the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God, to show you who you are? Yes, please. I grabbed her hands and started praying, and she's bawling. Ladies and gentlemen, she's been in church every weekend since. She's no longer on depression medication. She's been healed by the power of God. She's split up from her boyfriend, and he's coming to church with her so they can restore their relationship properly. Mum and dad are sitting in church on Sunday, all because her identity was discovered in deity. We can pass laws in a country that go, we are identified by our sexuality. And let me tell you, we need to love a broken world, not point the finger at a broken world. I'm not here to point the finger, but let me tell you, people are going to come back to Christ, and whether it's Mrs. Jenner, whatever her name is, who was a man and became a woman in America, and now she wants to be a man again, let me tell you, all the outward changes are not going to change the problem on the inside, because our identity comes from knowing deity, and if we don't have a connection with deity, we're always going to be confused about our identity. And this young lady now is walking with Jesus, and she gave me a big hug. I was there the other day before coming here, and I didn't have to pay for lunch. I got free lunch, and I said, you got to let me pay for lunch. She goes, how can I charge my family? And gives me a big hug. Mate, next time you see me, I'll be bigger than this. You too can have a body like mine if you neglect it. Anyway, identity comes from deity. And then guess what? Once we find our identity, then God gives us our destiny. He says, now, Pete, now that you know who I am, and I've showed you who you are, can I tell you what you're going to do? You're going to build my church. You're going to be part of this incredible program of building my church. And Peter, that's your destiny. But not only that, Peter, not only am I going to show you your destiny, you're going to have authority, because the gates of hell are not going to prevail again. You see, when God calls you to do something, he doesn't go and play peeky-boo and hide behind a tree and go, I'm going to make it so hard for you. So many Christians that think the will of God is so hard, I don't know. Maybe we're just chasing the wrong thing. Because if we stay in love with deity, he will give us our identity. Then he will unpack our destiny. And then he gives us authority. And then he says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven is our victory. And as I look back from the age of 11, I've had a lot of every days that have been pretty crappy in all my life. But there's been suddenlies all the way. You know, there's Moses doing his one day in the back end of the desert, wondering what on earth is going on. He wasn't having burning bushes every 3 weeks. He's in the back end of the desert thinking, my life really sucketh right now. Honestly. I'm in the back end of the desert working for my flipping father-in-law. And then one day, you know, charismagics, they want to do suddenlies all the time. There it is. Suddenly, there it is. Oh, wow. You're never going to get a proper suddenly if you don't do your everyday. Because if you do your everyday knowing deity, knowing your identity, then there's a suddenly. And then there's a one day that comes that can change your life forever. But, you know, he didn't get up in the morning and go, I wonder if this is the day the burning bush is going to happen. He didn't know there was going to be any burning bush. But he did his every day in obedience, serving another man's vision. Serving another man. Deity opens up our identity. We find out who we are. That's why David, who messed up so much, committed so many sins, but he knew deity. Search me, O God. If there's anything, me last night, we sang that new song, Create in Me a Clean Heart. Oh, God. Out of Psalm 51. How does he say in Psalm 23, the Lord once upon a time was a shepherd. No, the Lord is present. My personal providing shepherd. I preached that 3 weeks before my son died at Hillsong Church. So how do I get up after Chris dies and go, the Lord is my shepherd? Well, he provided peace, he provided love, he provided protection in the midst of all the confusion where there was no clarity. I could trust sovereignty. You see, when you know deity, That's where you find your identity, not whether God answers your prayers or not. I want miracles, but I'm not going to follow Jesus just because he gives me miracles. I want to follow Jesus because he's deity. He's given me my identity, and I have my destiny. And because I have authority, I now have victory. Now listen, he said that to Peter. Look at Peter's life. I'm going to finish. I want the musicians to come. That'll make everybody think we're done. I am going to finish with this, but listen. 1 Peter chapter 5. Peter starts writing to the elders. But he's not giving them instruction. He's telling them his story. You see, this message tonight is about having your own story. Because your story becomes our story. And our story becomes his story. And it's not just about getting what we want. It's about knowing deity, finding our identity in deity, unpacking our destiny that he brings to us, walking in his authority that he puts on us, and then walking out in victory. And in 1 Peter 5, I reckon Peter's an old man. I mean, you know, Jeff, you might have known how old he was. Do you know how old he was when he wrote 1 Peter 5? I reckon he would have been in his 80s. And he writes in verse 2, care for the flock. Don't be an oversteerer, be an overseer. Don't do it grudgingly, do it willingly. Take care of the flock. Do you think maybe Peter was telling us his story of the time he got disappointed in ministry, felt God wasn't happy with him, and he walked away? And then he's on the beach. Jesus is on the beach cooking a barbecue one day for breakfast, cooking fish with a coal fire. The only other time there was a coal fire mentioned in the New Testament was the night that he denied Christ next to a coal fire. And now Peter is out back fishing, like, stick it all. I've lost my identity. And he's back out there fishing. And then he sees Jesus on the beach. And he pulls up his garments and he runs through the water and gets to the beach. And Jesus has prepared fish for him. He's catching fish. Jesus supernaturally provides breakfast and goes, do you love me, Pete? Do you love me, Pete? Then get back to what I called you to do. Feed my sheep. And we know that story. So he writes at the end of his life, shepherd the flock. Cast all your care upon him because he cares for you. What about that night on the lake? Jesus is asleep in the boat. Jesus seems so disinterested in our lives sometimes. And Peter comes and shakes Jesus or talks to him. I don't know how he did it, but don't you care that we perish? Don't you care? And now at the end of his life, cast all your care upon him, for he cares about you. What was he doing? Telling us his story. Telling us his story of the faithfulness of God through every season of his life. Give all your worries to God. Stay alert. Watch out, for your enemy prowls around, the devil, like a roaring lion. What about that night in the Garden of Gethsemane? And I'm moving quickly. I'm nearly done. Says to the disciples, can't you pray with me for an hour? They fell asleep. And now at the end of his life, stay alert. Don't give in to the enemy. What was Peter doing? He was telling us his story. It wasn't an instruction. Why is it, and I'm not being self-serving by saying this, that I've prayed for 2,000 people that have lost their children since my son passed away? Because somehow your story identifies with their story. It's one thing, and we don't have to go through everything to pray for people. People don't misunderstand me. But there's something of having to walk out in the midst of your pain, in the midst of your disappointment, in the midst of where was God when he told us to plant that church and it didn't go as good as we thought? Where was God when we felt we had this great ministry and now all the doors are shutting? Get back to deity. Get back to loving deity. This week I've been quite sick. And sometimes in my room before walking out, I go, God, I can't do this. I'm tired. But I go, but God, you called me. So deity, you gave me my identity. Last night I spoke here and thought I preached the worst sermon I've ever preached. I was barely getting the words out. And I've had more comments about last night. flipping Nora, honestly. That was better than a poke in the eye with a blunt stick, honestly. When God shows up, if we can do it, we don't need Him. I was never taught how to plant a church. Man, people joined me from everywhere when we started our church. I thought I was awesome. And then when I didn't give them what they wanted, they hated me. I would get letters like, "Who do you think you are?" Another letter, "Hey, you." I should have written back and go, "How you know my name?" Driving your flash car. We used to get government cars, but driving your flash car while we have to give tithes to your church. And I'm going, "Lord, where's this coming from? I thought you called me." Yes, I did. Not to this. Sometimes He calls us and things happen we never expected. And this is my third closure. But one thing I realized, I said this to the leaders if you weren't here. When I gave my life to Jesus at 11, it was a covenant decision. For better, for worse, for richer, for poorer. And He signed the wedding certificate with His blood. And He's never going to divorce me. When I said yes to the call of God and gave up my job, didn't know how we were going to pay the bills, it was a privilege to do it because it was a covenant call. When I went to Edge Church, and it was a privilege to give a covenant call to these wonderful people that we were in covenant with. But guess what? The people sitting in the pew don't give that back to you. Not everyone sitting in the pew give the covenant call back to you. They can leave and say, "Stuff you, we don't like that church. We've had enough. We've been there 6 years. Nothing's changed. We're out of here." And we can cry ourselves to sleep at home. Julia, Holy Spirit speaking to me right now. You're such a great mother. And you carry it in your heart. And when you think you've been a disappointment to people, it breaks your heart. Because it's not in your heart to ever, ever disappoint anybody. And this last 2017, there's been moments where you've privately grieved. And you are a sort of person that doesn't want to put the grief on other people. You're not one that bleeds over people. But you love Jesus passionately. And sometimes you say to yourself, "But why? But why?" And I see you standing at the door of this place. And I see children running from everywhere as I'm talking to you right now. And jumping up into your lap saying, "Mum." But when they get to you, it's like instantly they're going to grow into adults. It's like they're little kids while they're running. And then when they get to you, they've just grown up. And I believe you're going to see a harvest. You're going to see a harvest. The tears that you've cried are going to become a river of refreshing for others. And it's not because you're perfect, nobody's perfect, but it's because you're godly. It's not because you're perfect, it's because you love Jesus and you love people and you've kept it that simple. You love your husband and he's only got his sanity because he's got you. Because I love watching you two guys. I don't know where you would be without her. Do you agree with that, dog? Yeah, great. Can you reach out your hand to your pastors right now? Father, when you call us, you don't make mistakes. I thank you that when these guys put their own money in and wouldn't take a salary, I didn't know that until today, wouldn't even take a salary so that this house could be built. Father, I thank you that that wasn't because they were building their family business, but they were laying down their lives for generations. Don, there's always been inside of you a desire to stay young. It's not that you just want to play sport and have fun and break bones and then have miracles to tell people because you've got a broken back and everything else. It's because you've wanted to stay fresh. You hate religion. You hate stuffy stuff. You love the power of God. You love faith. You love to see miracles. But what people don't know is that deep down, you want to see generations raised up. And while you haven't always known how to do that, and go, "God, I want to do it," I believe this is the season. And this is the time when God is going to release strategy. He's already begun this week. And you're going to be this gloating dad and gloating mum and dad and granddad of the house as you see generations rise up. And you will be honored, respected, and loved, but released to be all that God called you to be when He stamped your identity. You did not come up with your identity, God gave it to you. And you are totally committed to deity. And the destiny hasn't fully been fulfilled, but there's a new authority and a victory coming as you are going to walk out your destiny like never before. And as you do that, people are going to say, that's what we always knew about Don and Julia. And so, Father, we pray for them as the parents of this house. And we thank you for what you're going to do in this next short period of time. Some stuff has taken ages, and we go 1 foot forward and 3 feet back. And you've gone home sometimes and you've thought, I thought we were moving forward, and now we're even more confused. And just like you, Don, your phone's going off right now while I'm prophesying over you. That's so good. It's so like you. It's great. It's actually God trying to talk, but He can't get a word in edgeways because I'm speaking. You're amazing people. Don't change. You're not meant to change. You're meant to grow within who you are, not grow into becoming somebody else. We only grow within who we are. We can't grow into becoming someone else. Because, Father, in Jesus' name, as we close tonight, like Peter, we want our own story. That is not our story, it's your story. But it will become our story, so that it become history. Father, let this church be a model. Father, I pray that this church will be a model to show other churches on how all generations can serve together without being used by dates on people. Father, I pray the anointing of grandparenting will come on this house, the anointing of parenting, the anointing of brothers and sisters with a yes anointing that know who to carry the burden and who to carry the wood. Father, I thank you for that. And Father, we look forward with anticipation for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. While every head's bowed, every eye closed, we've run out of time and I'm not going to take long, but I want to make this very meaningful. If you're here tonight, I really felt while I was praying that there are many of you confused about what God wants you to do. Not just one or two, not just a couple or two. There's many of you and you're confused. And I asked God what to say to you. I said, God, what do you want me to say? And He said, tell the people that you need to start to journal. And you need to keep a diary with God. And you need to come to the Bible with expectation. You need to come to the Bible with a sense of, I want revelation, God. I want you to speak into my heart. And doesn't matter what it looks like, just write it in your journal. Everything I preach just comes out of my journal. Because I am more committed to deity than fancy preaching. I'm more committed to know what God wants to say than a 3-point sermon with a good introduction, good illustrations, and a great conclusion. God said, stop preaching and start reaching. And I believe the Holy Spirit wants to speak so loud into individual lives in this church in this next 12-month period. This church is not going to look nothing like it's done in the past 12 months from now if we all come in on it together and say we want to all connect individually with deity. Some of you have thought that your spirituality comes through doing and responsibility in the church. And yet if you want to be honest with God, spiritually you're dry. You're very, very dry. And God wants you to go home and live to the audience of one. Live to the audience of one. When I left our church, pastor said to me, you're an idiot. Leaving such a good church, going to small churches, going to places, you gave up the church too quick. Well, they can call me an idiot, but I live to the audience of one. And I would rather follow deity who has stamped my destiny through my identity in Him. And I have authority and victory because of Him, not because of me. While every head's bowed and every eye closed, some of you are disconnected from God because of your disappointment tonight. Others of you have never been connected to God. Maybe you're visiting and you go, I don't know deity. What does that mean? God, the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. But if He's that real and He's got an identity for me, I want to know Him. I want to connect with Him. And the Bible says if we confess with our mouth that He is the God He says He is, believe in our heart Jesus can become Lord of our lives, and that journey can become a reality. It is a reality for me through tragedy and everything else. That is my reality. And you say, Danny, I need help tonight. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. Time is gone. But I'd like you to slip up your hand if you feel there's been a disconnection and you want to reconnect tonight back to deity. And I'm going to pray it'll become a reality and a clarity in your life. Just while every head's bowed, just slip up those hands. Thank you, God bless you. 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 You guys are beautiful. Thank you for being so honest in your response. Thank you, God bless you. You can put them down again. Thank you, God bless you. I believe there's four more people in the room tonight. Four just came up in my mind where you're actually disappointed. Thank you, God bless you. You're disappointed with God, and God's not upset about that, but He wants to reconnect with you. You don't need to carry that disappointment. You can turn that into a God appointment. While every head's bowed again, three more people. Where are you? Just slip up your hand. I'll see it. Thank you, God bless you. Thank you, God bless you. There's just one more. Thank you, God bless you. Why don't you all pray after me? Thank you, Jesus, for loving me so much. I don't understand everything, but I know I need you. I open my heart to you, and I invite you in to give me a revelation of who you are. Heal my identity. Bring me destiny. Let me walk in your authority and show me how to live in victory as I choose to walk with you in Jesus' name. While every head's bowed and every eye closed, there's three or four people here tonight. There's a couple of young ladies, and that could happen in any meeting, so I'm not trying to be super spiro or anything, but you don't like who you are. You don't like how you look. And when I was talking about that young lady tonight, you go, I feel just like her. And you've actually had suicidal thoughts. You don't feel that you're lovable. And God tonight wants to, in a moment, unlock something in you that you'll never feel like that again. Holy Spirit, I pray for an impartation of what I spoke tonight into these dear people's lives. Again, while every head's bowed and every eye closed, if that's you, will you slip up your hand so I can pray for you? Please, I don't want anybody looking around. I'll see you. You've actually, yes, thank you, God bless you. Yes, thank you, God bless you. 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 Dear God, if this is just a nice talk, then we've just wasted an hour and a half. Father, I pray that what you did for that young lady that has had such a transformation in her life, do it for these dear people tonight. Let them walk out of here not forgetting those words. Father, stamp them not just in their head but on their heart. I can know deity. He will look after my identity. He will bring destiny. I really believe as I close tonight that God is about to open a new era for this church. And God doesn't want you to say, I'll only do that. I'll sing on the music team, but I won't come to a working bee. I'll only do that. Don't ever put conditions on how you'll serve God because you don't know where He's going to show up. For me, He showed up in a menswear store. You might be working on this building just cleaning and thinking, well, I just do that because I love God. I'll do whatever because I want to worship God. What role is too beneath us to carry the wood? But I want to tell you, as everyone has a yes, all-in approach, we're going to see giftings break out, open, things come to the surface. Thinking, we didn't know that was in our church. We didn't know that was in our church. We didn't know that was in our church. And I prophesy 12 months from now, clarity and absolute unity and a coming together. The devil does not like this church because there are churches that preach the power of God because it's more about them than about the power of God. The power of God on Don and Julia is a gift that God's given them, not for themselves, but to give it away. One of the reasons why Don travels is sometimes it's easier to move in the power of God when you're away from home than at home. Is that right, Don? But God's saying to you right now, God's about to lift the lid on that. And in this house, there's going to be an openness to the supernatural without the weirdness, without the wacky stuff. Supernatural in Jesus' name. Hey guys, I've loved being with you. You've been amazing. It's been a great couple of days. I count it a privilege to partner with you because I know where you're going and it's good. God bless you.